I don't think I've ever been quite so inspired with a series of messages as I have this one. And so I want to thank the Lord. I might testify that this has been sort of on my heart for maybe a year. I thought the Lord wanted me to do this a year ago. And it just didn't come together, didn't seem to be ordered of the Lord at that time. And so now I feel it is His time. And if ever there was a time that you and I need to pray, it is now. And we need to learn how to pray. I don't believe there's ever a time in each of our lives, no matter how old we get, that we don't need to say, Lord, teach me how to pray. We need to ask the Lord continually to teach us how to pray the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous that availeth much. And that is the foundation of all of these messages. That's the core. So this morning, the title is Power of Agreement. And it is so important that we have agreement of prayer. Going to give some definitions to introduce our thought this morning. So a synonym for agreement is unity. And unity is a Latin word which simply means one. Unity means oneness, harmony, accord, not divided, agreement. It also means united into one for an effective whole. And I think that as we proceed this morning, we might even be thinking about what our congregation has in Signal, or what we had in WhatsApp. We had our group. We set it up for a purpose of sharing our prayer requests, our needs, and our testimonies. And I think how often and how wonderful it is that we share our burdens and share our requests and then come back. And we begin to testify and thank the Lord for answering prayer. So that's part of having the power of agreement of prayer. Unity is very important to God. It should be very important to us. It's unity is where there's two, and we'll find the scriptures to this, or more that are united. Jesus spoke in his many times about the Father and the Son were one. And so if it was important to God to be in unity with his Son, he also wants us to be in unity with him and the Son and the Spirit. And we call that the triune or the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, they are one. They might be three, but they're one. Thank the Lord. So unity is very important in the work of God, in the worship of God, in the walk with God. It's good to have unity. So, and Jesus even had a prayer that he prayed for the church, for his people to be one as the Father, as he and the Father were one. So I'm going to start out with a few little scriptures to have for thought as we continue. The first one is Ecclesiastes 4. I do have considerable reading this morning, so I hope we'll be patient concerning that. the fourth chapter of Ecclesiastes, and we're going to read 9 through 12. It says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. Isn't that what we're looking for this morning? To have an agreement in, be in unity. And there's going to be some good things come out of our unity with one another. God's people will have the sweetest unity. It's precious. When there is discord, it is heartache. But when it is unity, it is sweet. And then it says, for if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. I'm going to mention something right here just as a coordinating thought here, you might say. There might be times that you and I may be alone when we need the Lord's help. And I want to testify to what the Lord did for me one time when I was in another city. I was alone. I didn't know of one person in that city that was a saint of God. And I became very sick instantly. And I was crying out to the Lord. And the Lord spoke to me to anoint myself. Well, you might say, well, who was in agreement with you when you did such a thing? I believe the Holy Ghost was. Yeah. Because the Holy Ghost can make groanings and can intercede when you and I run out of our words. And the Holy Spirit can be your agreement. So I did. I anointed myself alone. God touched me. I was able to drive back to I was probably an hour and a half away from my daughter's house. I was down in Alabama. And the Lord did it. So we may find ourselves alone sometimes. But don't be discouraged. Still call on the Lord and cry out for the Holy Spirit to be your agreement. And so then it says, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? Oh, we need each other. You know the song that's in our book, we need each other, brethren. Yes. I'll tell you, that is a special song. There is something about having that fellowship with one another and with the saints. There's no fellowship in the world like the fellowship of the saints. Thank the Lord. Verse 12 says, and if one prevails against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Now, what do you think about that scripture? Who's going to be your opposer? Well, we know that Satan is the opposer, that he's going about as a roaring lion. He's seeking whom he may devour. He's also seeking to try to hinder your faith and my faith. He's trying to hinder our prayers, our communication with the Lord, our confidence. You see, he wants to condemn. And he wants to cause us to feel like we can't call on the name of the Lord. But you can call on the name of the Lord. You can also pick up the phone and you can call somebody and say, I need an agreement of prayer. Thank the Lord. And he will have to flee because there's power in agreement of prayer. So if one prevails against him, two, that's all you need. Call somebody and say, I need your prayers. And this morning, Brother Dan had taken an anointed cloth over to Lorinda, and he called and he said, now at 9 o'clock, Paul is going to put that on Lorinda, and we want to all be in agreement of prayer. Agreement of prayer is wonderful. Dan wasn't here, but he said, I'll be on the way. I'll be praying. You know, we don't have to be in the same room together. We can be in different places in our homes, and we can call it. We want an agreement of prayer at this time. So at 9 o'clock, those of us that were in the chapel here, we went to prayer. Dan was praying. So there's power in agreement. And it's two or more in unity. Thank the Lord. So the next scripture that we have, I just wrote it down. It says, one can chase 1,000. How many can two chase?
10,000.
10,000. 10 times as much power is manifested when there's two or more in agreement of prayer. Now, I have to insert here, this goes back to the message of the conditions and the terms of our prayer life. We have to be clear before the Lord. You can't just say, well, I'm going to pray and you're going to pray. We have to have the Spirit of the Lord ruling and reigning in us. We have to be blood washed. We have to be the redeemed. That's the ones that God hears the prayers. That's an unpopular thought. But I believe the Lord wants us to also, we're going to have a message on that. The kind of prayers, the people that God hears the prayers from. There's certain people God hears prayers. So you and I must also meet the conditions and meet the terms. And then we are in the Spirit. We're in agreement of prayer. So one can chase 1,000. Two can chase 10,000. Oh, there's power in agreement of prayer. Then let's go over to Ezekiel, and we're going to consider what the Lord has to say about agreement. It's the 37th chapter, and we're going to look at verses 19 and 20, and then up to 15 through 19, I'm sorry. Starting at verse 15, it says, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, moreover, thou son of man, take thee one stick. I'm going to skip just a little bit because I want you to get the core thought. Then take another stick. So we've got two sticks. And then you skip down to verse 17. Join the one to another into one stick. Do you get a picture now? Two sticks made one. You know what's so beautiful about this? It also relates to marriage. Two people coming together, two separate people, they become one. And oh, when those two are filled with the Spirit of God and choosing the way of God, and those two can have agreement of prayer on anything. Because there's power in agreement. I want to say this morning that one of the things I miss, Lorne, the most is having agreement of prayer. Because we could get down together and pray through. It's a wonderful thing to have a companion that you can pray with and have an agreement. But here's two sticks, and these sticks are joined together. They're made one stick, and it says, and they shall become one in thine hand. And verse 18, and when the children of the people shall speak unto thee, saying, wilt thou not shew us what this meanest? You will say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will take the one stick, I'm going to paraphrase here again, and they shall be one in mine hand. This is why it's so important that we have a unity among us, an agreement. Not be at odds with each other. You know, this is why it doesn't work to hold a grudge or to hold unforgiveness, Because you cannot pray. You cannot be in agreement. You cannot be in unity. If you allow hurts and offenses to rule your life, you will not have that peace of God that passeth understanding. You will not be able to be in agreement with others. You're bound. And Jesus said, God says, his very law, if we do not forgive, we cannot be forgiven. See how important it is that we have the Spirit of God ruling and reigning in our lives. But he wants us to be like one. Okay, let's go to Matthew now, the 18th chapter. And here we're going to look at verses 19 and 20 and then skip back up to 18. And it says, again, I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. Oh, we like to claim that promise a lot, don't we? Well, skip back up now to 18. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. What a promise. How many times have we gone to prayer, asking the Lord to do whatever the need of the hour was? I distinctly remember, I don't know why it is so impressed upon my mind, but it was a number of years ago. I remember where we were living at the time, so it had to have been more than 10 years ago. But Brother Curtis Williams was critically ill with his heart, had had a terrible heart attack, and you know, the church had an agreement to pray at a certain time. And I distinctly remember the hour. I distinctly remember the inspiration that I felt. God wants to inspire. Inspired prayer is one of the messages, having inspiration of the Spirit. But I remember being so inspired. God saved him and delivered him, has allowed him to live. And how we thank the Lord for that. He's a blessing to the church. But I also remember doing the same with Brother Michael. And I was thinking on that this morning, you know, God does all things well. He doesn't make a mistake. He orders all things. And God allowed Brother Michael to come to the place he could make a trip to Alabama to be with his family. He touched his body, gave him strength. He was able to be up and about it. And he even said, the Lord has given me a window of time, a window of opportunity. That was in answer to prayer, united prayer of the body of Christ that was carrying the burden for him. God heard that prayer, gave the desire, gave him a little time that was very pleasant. And then there came a time God took him. It's still in the plan of God. God answers prayer in the right way. Thank the Lord. So there's power in agreement and being in unity and working together and believing and striving for the same purposes and goals and praying for the same burdens. It's not in vain. I want to insert here that as we make our request known on our little group, let's not take it for granted. Let's not just get accustomed to it. Let's seek the Lord to say, Lord, inspire me. Help me to pray the prayer of faith. Help me to pray that effectual, fervent prayer. So I want to go now to another picture in Genesis of unity. And it's in the 11th chapter of Genesis. I'm going to read verses 1 and then 4 through 6. And this one is really a negative picture, but I believe it will show us what the power of agreement is. It says, "And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech." Now skip down to verse 4. "And they said," this is the Tower of Babel, remember, "they said, 'Go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach into heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth.' And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, 'Behold, the people are one.' And he said, 'This, and this they begin to do.'" Oh, what, they have one language. "And this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do." Look what unity can do even in negative things. You can work toward negative things in negative unity and agreement. So here's a picture right here. "And the Lord saw, if he didn't stop it, where they would lead to. So he stopped it. He changed their languages. He scattered them throughout the whole earth." So I thought that was probably something that would encourage us in a positive way. If that can happen in a negative way, God can encourage us in a positive way as well. If you and I are one together. Then I thought about Joshua and the Battle of Jericho. I'd like to read just a little bit over there. And the 6th chapter, verses 1 through 5 maybe. And this to me is a real picture of unity also. In the 6th chapter and 1 through 5. "And now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in." And then verse 2. "And the Lord said unto Joshua, 'See, I have given unto thee into thine hand Jericho.'" Now there's a promise. If God said that he's going to give it to you, he is giving it to you. You can claim the promise and you can believe it, that if we do as he says, the victory is ours. Verse 3, "Ye shall come past the city, all ye men of war, and go around that city once. Thou shalt do it 6 days." Now we got to obey. This is part of the conditions and part of the terms of getting our prayers answered, is being obedient. And then it says, "And the 7th day," verse 4, down in the middle of it, "ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priest shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass," verse 5, "that when they make a long blast with the horn's ram, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all of the people, all of them, shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up." Don't you know there was unity? There was agreement. They were all working toward the very same goal and purpose, for those walls to come down. Did they come down? Yes. I believe we have walls and barriers, battles, problems. Sometimes it seems like they're just walled up. You can't get through to them. You can't get past. You can't really get inside the walls to do battle with the very spirits of the enemy that is trying to destroy. He's trying to destroy.
It's true.
But listen, the power of agreement and unity is effective. Thank the Lord. So now let's turn to Isaiah 41 and 21. This is just a little scripture that the Lord has inspired to me from time to time. And it simply says, you produce your cause. And that word cause means case. Does anybody have a case today? You know what a case is? It's a certain situation that is only unique to that problem. And maybe you've been bearing your case before the Lord for a number of years. There's in our family, we had a case and a cause. And for a long time, we bore it, just us. But there came a point that it needed to be presented to the saints, to the congregation. And I want to say progress has been made when we had agreement.
Yes.
When we had prayer, Wednesday night prayer meetings, and naming these things out specifically. So it says, produce your cause, saith the Lord. The Lord says, you can produce your case before me.
Yes.
Bring forth your strong reasons. Bring forth your strong reasons why God needs to work. You know, there's a scripture that says, it's time for thee to work.
Yeah.
We can bear long with these cases. And then there comes a time that we can go before the Lord and say, Lord, it's time. It's time for you to make a change in this. I believe he hears it. So we're going to combine some scriptures now, just portions of scriptures to inspire our faith as far as the message is concerned. We want it to speak to us this morning. So I won't be giving you where it is. I'm just taking phrases. One phrase says, continue with one accord in prayer and supplication. Strive together in your prayers to God for, and then I put dot, dot, dot. What are you striving for? Find someone to be in agreement of prayer. Be in unity with you. Another one is, they lifted up their voice. Now, this was the children of Israel, and it was a multitude, and they called it a voice. How many voices is in a multitude? As many as are there. But there is, you know, I actually thought it was a scripture. And I even called somebody and I said, is this a scripture or is this just a saying? And they finally came back and they said, we think that it's based on scripture, but it's not really a scripture. But I've used it and I've said, cry it out to the Lord. I've said, Lord, let our request come up before you as one man's prayer. Have you ever used that? Have you heard that? We can use that in our prayers. And right here, it almost verifies it because it's a multitude of the children of Israel, and it says they had one voice. The voice, their voice, came to God with one accord. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken. You know, there's prayer changes things.
Yeah.
Something happens when we are in agreement of prayer.
Yes.
And it says, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Something happens. We can have spiritual boldness when we have unity in prayer. And then another one said, and all of the people, all of the people, does that sound like agreement? Said, amen, amen. You think the word amen isn't important? I want to tell you something, and I don't pressure people, but there's power in agreement with the message. There's power with agreement in prayer, but I'll tell you, when we agree with the message, the devil has to flee. And I appreciate agreement in the message. And then it says, they said, amen, amen, with lifting up their hands. Oh, that's another way. Lifting up holy hands is, it's a blessing to God. It blesses God. It blesses you. It blesses your fellow saint. I've sort of had a bandwagon on that, you know. And I really am blessed when I see someone lift up their hand in prayer, or in song rather. It always makes me want to look at the song and look at the words and say, what are they lifting up their hand to? What are they testifying to? And that blesses me. But it blesses God too. Thank the Lord. So they lifted up their hands and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord. Thank the Lord. So, again, if you can think of it when you pray and you know that the saints are all praying in the same way, even though we're in different places, you can say, Lord, receive our prayer as one man's prayer, because we're in agreement. Thank the Lord. So the next scripture I have is Psalms 133:1, and it's a familiar scripture. It says, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And what is the punctuation mark at the end of that? It's an exclamation point. It should be read with exclamation, emphasis. It's good. It is wonderful for brethren to dwell together in unity. Thank the Lord. Exclamation point. So now we'll close with a few little verses to answer this question. How can we have power in agreement? I believe that we've pretty well established how we can have power. But 1 Peter 3:8, it says, be ye all of one mind, having compassion. There's that word. Have you been thinking about the word compassion since we had the message on it? It was on the message that was on intensity of prayer. And we told about what Brother Austin said about families having more compassion when they pray in their homes, because you have more feeling. Amen. And we need more compassion for one another. Yes. Compassion. I'm using that word more. I'm so inspired with this word compassion. And here it is. It says, having compassion one to another. A feeling of, well, it goes on and it says, be pitiful. Be courteous. Be pitiful. You know, when we hear our request and we know that somebody has a need, it's so good to have compassion and take it home with us. Don't just pray for it right here. Take it home and in your private prayers. Name those things before the Lord until we get an answer. Until we know that the Lord is helping. Some have been in our congregation that has had back problems, have had issues. And I want to see those healed. I want to see them prosper. I want to see them blessed and grow in the Lord. These things bless us and we become stronger in the Lord when He hears prayer and He answers prayer. And I've witnessed it in the congregation. I've witnessed God answering prayer. And you move on to another battle. We're not going to be without battles. We're not going to be without afflictions. All the way down through, God is wanting to prove Himself to us continually. So, but it says here, for me to have compassion with you. For you to have compassion. Love as brethren. This is the key to having power in agreement. Being pitiful. And then it simply said, be courteous. How being courteous? What is courteous? What does it mean to be courteous? Did you know there's a law in our services that we should be courteous to one another? You might say, well, I think I'm polite. We need to be considerate. Like, need to be considerate of the time. We have brothers that have to get up early, drive a long ways to work. It's not a free-for-all, is it? No, we are to be courteous. And we are to consider our brethren. How many drive a long distance to church? All of us. Very few of us live close. So we need to be courteous. We need to watch how much time I take in prayer meeting, because there's others that might have a testimony too. See, consider one another. This is how we will have power in our prayers. It's all of it. It all works together. It fits together. But if we will follow this little place, God will be pleased. It says it's polite. Courteous means to be polite. It means to be respectful. It means to be considerate. So let's apply some of these in our services, and the Spirit will flow. Yes. The Spirit will flow. But otherwise, the Spirit can be bound. And maybe there'll be some that'll say, well, at the clock, it's too late. I'm not going to give my testimony tonight. No, it doesn't have to be that way. The Lord wants to bless our services. Okay, the next one is in 1 Corinthians 1 and 10. And these are ways for us to have power in agreement. It's, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together. Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
To be perfectly joined together. In the same mind and in the same judgment. Judgment is something that you have a conviction of, but I may not have that conviction. Does that make sense? When you have a personal conviction, it is best for you to keep it to yourself and God. Because God doesn't require everything of everyone in exactly the same way. Now, when it's the Word of God, it does. But when it's a personal conviction, we don't air it. There's many reasons why. If I have a weak brother or a weak sister, and I hear what your conviction is, and I don't feel the same, the enemy will take advantage. He will begin to accuse, and it will affect our unity. So consider your personal convictions and don't put them on other people. If God needs them to have that conviction, the Holy Ghost knows how to bring that. Okay? I want to tell you something. Down through my life, down through my ministry, God has given me many personal convictions. I don't preach them. I don't lay them on to you. And it's best for none of us to do that. So we gotta have, speak the same thing in judgment. That's God's judgment. God's word. We can stand on that and have unity. Because then we'll have the same mind. We'll be speaking the same thing. So to see eye to eye, God's pleased. If it's His word, we may have our opinions. My opinion counts as nothing if it's not the word. It's just my opinion. But if it's God's word and we're everyone seeing the word of God and seeing it eye to eye, oh, the Spirit of the Lord is thrilled. And the Spirit of the Lord will come down. And the Spirit of the Lord will hear our agreement. Thank the Lord. If we're all speaking the same thing, there's no confusion. When we're speaking opposite things, it's confusion. And what does confusion do? Where does it come from? Confusion is of the devil. I don't want confusion in the congregation, nor do you. We want unity, oneness, agreement, sameness. Thank the Lord. And if we will practice being courteous and considering one another, and if we will practice holding within what was my personal conviction? Does God give personal convictions? He absolutely does, because He knows your heart. He knows your thoughts. He knows the direction that you will go with this certain thing. God has done that with His people. But if we're doing the Word of God and it's God's judgment, there's power. Thank the Lord. So our final little thought is the scripture that we almost started with. And it said Matthew 18 and 19. Again, I say unto you, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything, it shall be done. Now, I want to add a little caution here as it comes to my mind. I didn't have it written down. You and I must not presume upon the scriptures. You know what it means to be presumptuous? Is to presume it's going to happen a certain way. There have been people that have gotten tripped up spiritually and left the church and backslid and went into deception because they presumed upon the word and it didn't happen like they thought it would. You cannot presume upon God. You must be yielded to God to allow Him to be that potter. Amen. To mold you and shape you and fashion you into a vessel that will honor Him. Only. We're here to honor God, not ourselves, not anyone else. And if we yield ourselves, don't presume upon. You remember we had in one message, God sometimes says no. That's still an answer. He answers prayer. Sometimes He says yes. Sometimes He says wait. Sometimes He says maybe. And sometimes He simply says no. So pray for me. I want to say, I love the way of the Lord.
Amen.
I love it.
Yes.
Amen.